We pray together. Father, we pray that your word would come alive in our hearts and minds, a living word brought to us by the living Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm beginning to understand who the advertisers think watch the television at various times of day. And occasionally I see the television around lunchtime and in the afternoon. And what amazes me is that the adverts are all about ensuring your death, about funerals, and about equity release. Recently, there's been a rise in the popularity of direct cremations, as seen in the television adverts. When the body is cremated without a service and the ashes are returned to the family, they're becoming popular because they're the cheapest option. In an interview with the BBC, Janet Jones, aged 70, of Attleborough in Norfolk, said she was considering whether to book one for herself and her husband, as she wants to make sure her two children can benefit from whatever money they have left. Janet would like her family to go on holiday instead of a traditional funeral and have a drink to celebrate their lives. But Janet's daughter, Bridie, isn't sure that that's the right option. She said that there are so many people who love them and want to say goodbye properly. A member of another family said, "The funeral isn't actually for the person who has died, but for loved ones left behind as part of the process. It meant that we could say goodbye properly." A traditional funeral director said that her biggest concern was the lack of support for the family members who are trying to grieve. "It worries me that there might be unresolved grief. And with these direct cremations bought online, there's no opportunity to express that grief." And she added that it was really important that people understand what direct cremations involve. She said, "You don't get a chance to say goodbye, unless, of course, you sort out your own service as well." And I want to add that families are left with no message of comfort and no message of hope. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we use these words at funeral services as a message of hope. Yet these are words for the living. Yes, hope in death, but also vitality in life. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives in me, believing in me, will never die." Jesus is not saying that the transition from death to life takes place at some distant last day, nor even at the moment of our physical death, but rather, and far more importantly, at the moment when we hear the voice of the Son of God and respond in trust in Christ and obedience to him. It is then that eternal life begins. Jesus transforms the Old Testament doctrine of resurrection. He brought it out of debate. For example, the debate between the Pharisees who believed in resurrection and the Sadducees who didn't. And even out of hopelessness, the view that the grave is the end. And Jesus brought it into the light of a now reality. He took it out of the scrolls and out of the books of religious men and philosophers and put it into his own person. He made it personal and demonstrated it in his own resurrection. And when we face death, we want a saviour, not a philosophy written in a book, even less a direct cremation ordered online. Jesus brings resurrection out of the future into the present. Whenever Jesus is present, God's resurrection power is present. Now, this has got to have some important things to say to our view of death, and indeed to our view of Christian life. Life in all its fullness, the Jesus life, the life of the Spirit, the life of hope, peace, forgiveness, and love, is not pie in the sky when you die, but it is now in Christ. And if it's not now, it's not ever. This life is the promise that we receive as we respond to God's love now in our present life. This life transforms us, and through us will transform society. These great words of Jesus about death and life are spoken in the midst of the events surrounding the miracle. John calls it a sign of the raising of Lazarus from death. This is a fantastic miracle which no one can deny. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. This was no momentary break in breathing followed by resuscitation, the sort of thing that we might see each week on BBC's Casualty as the crash team goes into action. The story begins when Jesus is told that Lazarus, a member of a family that Jesus loved, is ill. Jesus hears the report but does nothing. He merely says that the illness will not do Lazarus any permanent harm. Well, he's only got to die, isn't he? The days pass, and Jesus tells his disciples that Lazarus has died, but that he's glad for their sake. We're about to see one of John's great signs. Jesus will demonstrate that he has authority over death. The light will banish the darkness of death. As Jesus approaches Bethany, Martha hears of his coming and goes to meet him. The human view would be, where there's life, there's hope. But after death, there's nothing that can be done. It's final. But we find more than that in Martha. She's got more faith in Jesus than most people have. Even now, she says, even now. Your brother will rise to life, says Jesus. Well, yes, Jesus, I know that in the final resurrection, but I'm grieving now. I am the resurrection and the life, in death and in life. Do you believe this? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus do not have to await some distant day. Real resurrection takes place in and through Jesus, as we hear him, trust him, and give our lives to him. He is the gate to life in all its fullness. Has Martha got it? Well, yes, Jesus, I know that you are God's Messiah of the end times and the final resurrection. No, she still doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. And do we understand and believe this? The drama continues with Mary and then with the Jews. They come to the grave and Jesus weeps. Here is genuine human grief, as we all experience it in times of bereavement and loss. But Jesus' grief is in marked contrast to that of the professional mourners, who can do nothing but make a noise, the wailing that is characteristic of some Middle Eastern funerals, as we still see today. They mourn without hope. But in Jesus, we find a different perspective. Jesus takes full command of the situation. Take the stone away. Lazarus, come out. We hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in life and in death. Untie him and let him go. Lazarus is released from the cords of death and is free. The end of the story is a fantastic climax, which we can miss because of our familiarity with it. This dead friend of Jesus is brought back to life. A happy ever after story to beat all stories. It is no wonder that the crowds gathered when this Jesus entered Jerusalem the next day, something we'll remember next Sunday on Palm Sunday. So why are we so unimpressed? Do we believe this story? The miraculous raising of Lazarus, 4 days dead, from the grave, is a sign. It's a parable, if you like, an explanation of the words of Jesus, who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So what are we to understand by these words of Jesus in the light of the story? We understand that Jesus can speak to us in life and in death. We, the sheep, pass through the gate, which is Jesus, and have life. We hear the voice of the shepherd, not only as we follow him in life, but also as we share his death, and we share his life in death. Lazarus has yet to die. So this story, this sign, is not about physical life and death. It's about life and death in Jesus. It's about spiritual death and about spiritual life, eternal life. We begin to understand that resurrection life, the spiritual life, is not something only reserved for ethereal beings after death, but is to be found in our relationship with Jesus now. This is good news. Pharisees couldn't take it. They'd lose status and influence. They might lose power if the Romans got to hear of it and stepped in to take control. So they made plans to get rid of the healer and the healed. Dead men tell no tales. How will we respond? Do we see the danger of losing control if we surrender our lives to this God who can raise the dead and who calls us to trust, obey, and follow? Is this story a threat? In a national opinion poll some years ago, an interviewer asked the interviewee, "Do you believe in God?" The interviewee replied, "Yes, indeed." "Do you believe in God who can change the course of events on earth?" "No, just the ordinary one." Do we just want to believe in the ordinary God? Maybe we find ourselves in Martha's shoes, believing in a final day of resurrection. It'll all turn out right in the end. But in the meantime, we'll try to survive the daily grind of life. Resurrection is for the end of time. The gospel message, the good news, is that resurrection life is for now, right this moment, right here in this church. It's the encouragement that Paul gave to the church at Rome, as Martin read to us earlier. It transforms us and society. So no impersonal cremation bought online, which offers no comfort no hope, and merely saves us money. As we give our life to Jesus now, we know the God-giving life of an eternal relationship, a living relationship of peace, hope, glory, and love. And this is his desire for us now, and through death, and into eternal life. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift of life. Amen.